Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, the first 21 verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these ones who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and all the parts of Liberia belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are just filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the witness of Scripture. On Pentecost, the early followers of Jesus gather in Jerusalem along with fellow Jews from around the Mediterranean world. They are gathered together in one place when suddenly tongues of fire descend upon them from the heavens, and the gift of the Spirit advances this extraordinary event. The disciples proclaim the good news, and everyone seems to be able to hear it in their own language. Now, many interpreters have viewed this Pentecost moment as a direct response to the Tower of Babel, that fantastic story that seeks to explain how people once united by common ancestors eventually became peoples and cultures and nations with many different languages. It is tempting to suggest that Pentecost reverses the judgment of God meted out at Babel, and all present are able to share the same language again. First, I need to say a word here about God's judgment. In the Bible, judgment is better understood as the logical consequences of our sin, rather than a direct act of God. The story of Babel should be understood as natural consequences of human behavior, not a flash act of God's anger. The story is typological. It's a story to explain a longer period of human history in which the people developed cultures and nations and languages. It's a story that admits that we allow our differences to divide us when we are ignorant of the Spirit that unites us. At Pentecost, the Spirit does not do away with our culture, our gender, our race, or our language. The story does not say that they all speak the same language. It says that they all hear in their own language. So much of our common humanity does not need words to connect us. When traveling in Turkey last year, the poverty of the people in rural areas of that country spoke just as loudly to me as it does at home when I see someone on the street begging for something to eat. I met a lot of middle-class people in Turkey too, people who were filled with economic anxiety as tourist revenues were drying up. They were anxious that they were going to lose their businesses, similar to many people whose anxieties exist here in the United States. In fact, the hotel in which I stayed in Istanbul is now closed. Two of the restaurants that I ate at regularly are now closed. I can still feel their pain. I also saw children playing in the parks, on the streets, with smiles on their faces, people hugging one another in greeting, and people praying in the mosque and helping their neighbors. I could hear the message of the gospel in both its judgment and its mercy, in people a world away and whose language and culture and religion I do not share. At Pentecost, God does not erase our differences. In fact, our differences actually make us capable of expanding our own humanity. The Spirit connects us to God and to each other in a fellowship that testifies to our common humanity and transcends our particularities. At Pentecost, God, through the Spirit, chooses to meet us right where we are, in the midst of a multitude of languages and experiences. The Spirit translates the gospel instantly into a message that we can hear, no matter who we are, where we are, or how different we are. Imagine then what a miracle of Pentecost might mean for us today. At Pentecost, God makes God's choice clear. God joins us in the midst of our messiness and the difficulties of speaking different languages, eating different foods, and living in different cultures. That's the good news that we need today. God meets us in the prophetic voice that calls out injustice and the graceful voice that embraces us all with mercy. The problems that we face across cultures come when we imbue our differences with prejudice and rank, and when our differences become a way to determine who's in and who's out, who's better and who's inferior, thus corrupting the word of love, which the Spirit speaks at Pentecost. The possibilities that we face across our cultures come when our differences actually become a way to expand our horizons, to experience life more broadly, and to transcend the limits of cultures, mores, and norms. Today on Pentecost, we are not looking for a society where differences are abolished. We are looking and listening for a word that brings us together, a word that we can recognize in our own language, and yet unites us in our common humanity, which connects us with God and with one another. Let us pray. Spirit of God, descend upon us this Pentecost Sunday with a word that unites us in our humanity and enriches us in our shared diversity. Let the word of prejudice and hate be silenced by words of love and hope and charity, by acts of sympathy and empathy, courage and service. As we prepare to gather around the table of Christ, let us be ever mindful of our neighbor, the one in front of us and the one behind us, the one across from us and the one beside us, the one who has lived before us, and the one who is yet to come, that we may be united in heart and soul and spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.